I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal, your daily dose of news with a constitutional perspective and a principled delivery. Not fake, not party, nothing but liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. I think perhaps I ought to repeat that here today based on what I foresee to be the topic of the show. We are and will always be, no matter who is in office, no matter who is in power, liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over our favorite personalities. So remember, you know who we are. You know who we are being here. I want to talk to you first about an idea that JC and I have. Now, JC is my husband and co-host, but he will not be here with us today. He's feeling a little bit under the weather. And I've decided to give him the day off. Isn't that nice of me? Seriously, though, I know you're missing him, but perhaps by giving him the day off today, he will feel better tomorrow, and he'll be up and ready and excited and enthusiastic and ready to hit the show again tomorrow. But we've been talking and praying about this, and we want to do something special because we're going back to school. Isn't that what this is? Back to school time. And we want to do a series here on the Daily Journal that gives your students a truth inoculation. Yes, maybe the only vaccine you ever really want to give your children, the vaccination against the lies and propaganda that they will hear in their school books, in their classrooms about the Constitution and the founding of America. And I think that's going to be fun, which means these are going to be shows. I think every Chris Ann Hall show is a family show, but these are going to be shows that are particularly geared for the family. So we're going to need you to pull everybody in close, back like in the days of old, where you sat around the radio and listened with passionate intent on what you're about to hear. Let's do what we can to inoculate our students against the lies that they will be bombarded with. It'd be like sending your children into a mosquito factory and never giving them a malaria treatment, right? We're going to treat them for the lies that they will hold. But that only is going to work if you guys help us out and share the shows and listen to the shows and get the kids to listen to the shows. And that's what we're going to be doing this week. The Chris Ann Hall Daily Show. Not sure if it will begin tomorrow. Check in tomorrow. We'll know for sure. But we're going to start this series, The Inoculation for Truth Against the Lies. And we're going to cover the Constitution. We're going to cover the founding of America. And we're going to do this. I want to mention before I get away from this, you know, on our Saturday show, we also have a Daily Journal Monday through Thursday, and we have a full Saturday show released every Saturday by noon Eastern Standard Time. And on the Saturday show, we asked you, our great, great Chris Ann Hall listeners, to share the show, to just spread it far and wide. And I just want you to know the figures are back. And I have to say thank you. Humbly thank you from the bottom of my heart. You guys shared that show crazy shared that show, and I want to ask you to do it again. You see, daily doses of constitution and principle is exactly what America needs. This is the cure, and we need you. We know you can do it. You knew, and it was just amazing how it worked. Share this show. Download it. Email it. Put it on Facebook. Put it on Twitter. Put it on LinkedIn. Put it on Instagram. Do your own recorded version and put it up on Twitch or something like that. You know, do your thing, YouTube. But let's get this show out. Let's get the Daily Show out all the time. You can help us be the new narrative. And we can help you be a beacon of truth in the face of fake news and political propaganda. Remember, liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Can I mention to you that we are always going to be talking about the things that are happening that are contrary to history, contrary to the Constitution, and things that are happening that are good according to the history and the Constitution. You know, history is our guide. Remember, Patrick Henry said, "I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know no way to judge the future but by the past." Alexander Hamilton said, "Experience is the oracle of truth, and where its responses are unequivocal, they ought to be held to be sacred." That's what we're doing here, picking up that lamp of experience so we can know what's good and what's not, and what's not good, what's bad and what's worse. And we have a situation going on right now. I've talked about it before, the quote-unquote Trump tariffs. You know, you must know, we've been saying it so much now, there are no such things as Trump tariffs. And the reason they keep calling them Trump tariffs is because they want to keep pointing the finger at Trump instead of where the responsibility and the accountability actually lies. And that is with your Congress. Taxes, duties, imposts, exposts, tariffs are not an executive power. They are a congressional power, not a presidential power, a congressional power. So there is no such thing as a Trump tariff. Don't quote UCC to me. Don't quote any federal act to me. The Constitution says exactly what it says, and unless Congress is going to go in through the fifth article of the Constitution and properly ratify an amendment to the Constitution, the power to lay tariffs will never lay in the hands of any single president, no matter how many laws they try to pass. Remember what our founders said. The Constitution predominates, and anything contrary to the Constitution is not valid. James Wilson said, "No law at all. No force of law." So these congressional acts that try to delegate, to abdicate responsibility that is specifically enumerated in the hands of Congress are no law at all. And there's no reason why the people should even look to them to be law, should even call them law. And there's no reason why the president would have that authority if there's no legal authority behind it. So we have to make sure. Listen, I'm under the firm belief that Donald Trump wants to do the right thing. I believe there are many things that he's wrong. I believe there's many things where he's misguided. I believe there may be some things where his arrogance gets in the way, where his preconceived notions get in the way. But you see, he's not perfect, and he doesn't understand the Constitution the way he should. And so we've got to make sure, even supporters, those of you who are just absolutely adamant supporters of Donald Trump. I respect your position. You've got to tell him. These aren't your tariffs, dude. They're not yours. Stop taking the responsibility from Congress because they want to lay you with the blame. It's a setup, man. It's a total and complete setup. They're setting you up to fail. You need to say, I propose these tariffs, and it has to happen if Congress will do it. But now, because we've been repeating this Trump tariff thing for so long, Donald Trump, I believe, actually thinks that what he's doing is lawful. And I actually think that what he believes that the consequences of these tariffs all lay on his shoulders. Remember, if he's not legally doing this, we shouldn't be enforcing these tariffs. The agency should be saying, you know, the president doesn't have the authority to lay a tariff. We're not gonna collect them. We're not gonna lay them. We're not gonna do them. Meanwhile, do you see what's going on here? Who benefits from these lies? This has been like this resounding theme running through my head this week. If you follow me on Facebook, if you follow me on Twitter or Instagram or LinkedIn, you know I have been posting daily, sometimes multiple times a day, pictures and quotes asking this question. Who benefits from these lies? Who benefits from these lies? Who benefits from the lies that Donald Trump can issue tariffs? Well, the obvious answer is Congress. Because they get to get the tariffs that they want. Hey, make no mistake. Make no mistake. These people aren't opposed to tariffs. They're not opposed to anything that gives them money. They don't care about whether you have money or not. They want money. If they cared about whether you had money or not, they'd shut down the IRS. It's all about their pockets. So no, they get paid. They get paid whether Trump issues the tariffs or not. They're getting paid. So they don't care about Trump tariffs. They want tariffs. They want to get paid. Who benefits? Congress. Not only because they always get paid, because they never have to deal with the consequences. Never. They always get to point their fingers at somebody else. And now there's a consequence. Now there's a consequence. There are farmers and ranchers who are allegedly going to suffer because of these quote-unquote Trump tariffs. Let's talk about that when we get back. Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KrisAnneHall.com. Remember, we not only have ChrisAnneHall.com, we have LibertyFirstUniversity.com. Liberty First University, where you can understand the Constitution better than a Supreme Court justice. Where you can know the history of America better than the professors of Harvard. And you can become those professors, not the ones in the classrooms, but the ones who speak truth, that profess truth in the face of fake news and political propaganda. And you can have all that just simply by going through the courses at Liberty First University. You will not find courses like this anywhere else. And I say that without hesitation or mental reservation, anywhere else. We don't speak to you like you're a lawyer. We don't speak to you like you're a law student. We have a gift to break this down, break the complicated into simple terms so that everybody with a sixth grade education can get it. You can not only be smart as a sixth grader, you can be smarter than a congressman. Just at LibertyFirstUniversity.com. And we'd hope for you to enroll in LibertyFirstUniversity.com and help us in this battle for liberty. But we're talking about tariffs. Remember, rule number one, there are no Trump tariffs. But now there's a panic, right? Now there's a panic. Are farmers, American farmers, going to be financially damaged by these tariffs? So that's the panic. And in response to the panic, because Trump has been led to believe that these are his tariffs, he now believes this is his problem. And now we have another constitutional issue. Constitutional issue number one, presidents do not issue tariffs. Congress issues tariffs. Constitutional problem number two, Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, has said that he wants to issue payments to our farmers to help them through this problem. Emergency aid for farmers hurt by trade war. Hurt by trade war. That's what he says. Well, here's the problem. Number two, President Donald Trump, as the executive branch, does not possess the constitutional authority to dispense money or welfare aid. So the Trump administration, according to Fox News, has announced that it will grant up to $12 billion in emergency aid to farmers hurt by retaliatory tariffs in the ongoing trade fight with China and other American trading partners. Do you know what the problem is here? Obviously, problem number one, the executive branch does not spend money, does not fund money, and does not have the authority to hand out welfare. Problem number two, Congress doesn't even have the authority to pay farmers. Here's the thing. This, once again, has to fall on the hands of Congress. Why does the executive branch have $12 billion just laying around that they can hand out to whomever they want? I find that really, really ironic. Really, really interesting in the light of the fact that now we're about to see another government shutdown and massive spending to keep the government open. We're going to be in a funding crisis here coming up again. Don't worry, it happens every year. We have a threat of a government shutdown. Do we have enough money? We got to have to increase our spending limit so that we can meet our debts. You know what? Why does the president have $12 billion laying it around that he can hand out in emergency funds? Somebody needs to get in here and do a line-by-line audit of every single penny that's floating around Washington, D.C. You see, there's a specific history behind all of this that should make all of this so clear as to how it's not the federal government's role to hand out billions of dollars in aid to our farmers, and it's not the president's role either. Why can't we learn from that history? When we come back, I'm going to give you that history. Let you see it for yourself.
And tear up our Constitution, and from every direction, we cry revolution, standing together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country, as our
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Oh, but I'm only a stranger here. I'm a long, long way from my home. And I'm going to change all the things I find.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Can I just remind you, liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. So we have these unconstitutional Trump tariffs which is allegedly creating a problem for farmers. Maybe, maybe not. How do we know? And Trump is going to announce his emergency aid for these farmers. Can I share a little bit of history with you? I want you to keep these facts in mind. This is aid going to our farmers because of a dispute between America and foreign countries over trade. This already happened in 1792. A little bit of history. After our first victory against Great Britain, Great Britain never really recognized America's independence. They continued to act like we were still their colonies and our people were still their property. They were kidnapping men on the coast and making them serve in the British Navy because, according to the British government, they were still British citizens, so they had to serve. But also, the British government was coming and fishing off of our shores, literally decimating the cod fishery industry in our newly formed these United States. And in an effort, because now we're in a trade war with Great Britain over our natural resources, which they claim are theirs, which we know are ours, because we're not British anymore. We're states in these United States of America. This is our land, not theirs. And so we're in this political battle. And while we're in this political battle, Congress decides that they need to put forward legislation to subsidize the cod fishing industry that is being damaged because of this trade dispute, of this resource dispute between these states of America and Great Britain. It's called the Cod Fishery Bill of 1792, a bill to subsidize the cod fishing industry to help these cod fishermen, to encourage the industry, and to help them as they've been damaged in this foreign political battle. Now, you can go online and you can read the congressional notes. I'm not going to give you all the congressional notes, but I want to give you what James Madison says about this event. Madison says, "Sir, I've always conceived, and I believe those who proposed the Constitution conceived, and it's still more fully known and more material to observe, that those who ratified the Constitution conceived that this is not an indefinite government, deriving its powers from the general terms prefixed to the specific powers, but a limited government tied down to specific powers which explain and define the general terms." You see, he was opposed to this subsidy to the cod fishermen because Madison says there is no enumeration of power within the Constitution for Congress to subsidize private industry. None. We have a limited and defined federal government. Common defense and general welfare, Madison is saying, is not meant to expand the power of the government beyond its enumerations and limitations. Those clauses are not powers, but describe the purpose of the power delegated within the strict confinement of the enumerated powers. And then with amazing foresight, Madison explains the consequences of allowing the federal government to turn these general welfare clauses, necessary proper clauses, common defense clauses, into defined powers. I think I have to mention here, too, that this was not just simply about subsidizing the industry of cod fishery, but see, there was also a national security element to this cod fishery bill. You see, congressmen said that we have to encourage the cod fishing industry. We've got to bail these guys out so the industry does not collapse because it will create a national security crisis for us. You see, we get trained naval officers from this cod fishery industry. Those who spend their life on the boats, they come and they become part of our Navy. And if our cod fishing industry fails, then how will we have trained naval officers? So they're saying common defense and general welfare are justifications for us to subsidize the cod fishing industry, national security, and the welfare of the economy. And Madison says, look, these are not powers, general welfare and common defense. They are the purpose for which the powers are delegated. But if you turn these clauses into defined powers, Madison says, if Congress can employ money indefinitely to the general welfare and are the sole and supreme judges of the general welfare, they may take care of religion into their own hands. They may appoint teachers in every state, county, parish, and pay them out of their public treasuries. They may take into their own hands the education of children, establishing in like manner schools throughout the Union. They may assume the provisions for the poor. They may undertake regulations of all roads other than post roads. In short, everything from the highest object of the state legislation down to the most minute object of police would be thrown under the power of Congress. For every object I have mentioned, Madison says, would admit the application of money and might be called, if Congress pleased, provisions for the general welfare. He says, I venture to declare it is my opinion that were the power of Congress to be established in the latitude contended for, it would subvert the very foundations and transmute the very nature of limited government established by the people of America. And here we are, once again, repeating that history. You know, they didn't listen back then. And in 1831, they're having another problem again. Congress once again attempts to reconstruct its powers through the artifice of charity. This time, the argument is about supplying wood for the poor of Georgetown. The mayor of Georgetown sent a letter to the House of Representatives asking for relief of the poor of that city and soliciting the House to grant a donation of wood from the Capitol vaults for their use. And it sparked this debate in Congress. Congressman James Polk, the future 11th president of the United States, in a showing of moral character and commitment to the Constitution that, I'm sorry, is rarely seen today, Polk said he knew it would be viewed as being ungracious to oppose a resolution in behalf of the suffering poor of the district. But he went on to say that the precedent of appropriating the public funds for such a purpose was a bad one. And he said that if they allowed this small act of charity, then every winter when the snow fell or the Potomac was frozen, applications would be made to Congress and members would be engaged in the dignified object of buying and stowing wood to give to the district, to the poor District of Columbia. He said that the House does not have the power to make the donation requested, but that if the representatives came to legislate on the great concerns of the nation, not to give away public property. I think one of the greatest arguments that comes out of this affair comes from James Blair, a congressman in South Carolina, who gets straight to the point. He says, if we can do this, we would have the power also to vote millions of public money to feed and clothe the suffering poor. The House has no right to give away the public money for any such purpose. And if gentlemen were disposed to be liberal, let them be liberal out of their own money. And then Polk moved the House floor for the following substitute of this bill by way of amendment. He says, quote, that the sergeant-at-arms be required to deduct from the compensation of the members of this House on a day's pay and deliver said sum to the mayor of Georgetown to be applied to purchase fuel for the paupers of that town, provided, nevertheless, that such deduction shall be made from the compensation of such members only as a vote in favor of the resolution. Here's the thing. We're still not listening. And I'm just going to have to stand with Congressman Blair and say, look, if you want to be generous, Dianne Feinstein, then we need to take your money from your pocket. If you want to be generous, Mitch McConnell, we need to take the money from your pocket. You don't have the authority in the Congress to send the public money off onto charity. It's called legalized plunder. And if I don't have the right to stick my hand in your pocket to take something for my need without your permission, then Congress ought not have the authority, certainly doesn't have the authority to stick their hand into your pocket for me. See, here's the thing. I had a congressman tell me, well, we are the representatives of the people, and whatever we vote into to be, whatever we get a majority vote, has to be what the people want because we are the representatives. No, let me tell you something. If Congress is spending on programs, if Congress is spending things on things that are not constitutionally authorized, I don't care how many of them vote for it, that is taxation without representation because the Constitution is the mark of our representation. Spending and collecting money beyond the grant of the Constitution is taxation without representation, and it is legalized plunder. We need to be on the mark here. We need to make sure that we're headed in the right direction. This is not an attack on Donald Trump. This is not an attack on any politician. This is a course correction where history has twice showed us the right way to go. The right way to go. And that's the way we need to go. It's like getting a Supreme Court justice. We don't want a liberal activist judge. We don't need a conservative activist judge. We need a constitutional judge. We don't need a Republican president or a Democrat or libertarian or a Green Party. Or a Bernie Sanders party. We need a constitutional executive. And by goodness gracious, isn't it about time we get some real constitutional representatives in the House and in the Senate?
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Well, there's your history lesson for today from the Chris Ann Hall Show. We can learn from it, or we choose not to. It really, really is up to the people to choose what kind of people they want to be. We can sit around and wait for something to happen, or we can get vocal, and we can share the truth. And here's the thing, just to give you a little comic relief with a lesson. I know. Are you ready for this? I actually read an article by Think Progress. Yes, I did. And because the headline caught my eye, it says, if Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed, the Constitution is going to, are you ready? You ready? Change so fast your head will spin. Well, here's what I say to the Think Progress people. Live by the sword, die by the sword, my friend. You see, you and I know that Kavanaugh doesn't change the Constitution. You and I know that the Supreme Court does not change the Constitution. But the ignoramuses at Think Progress and those who are constitutionally stupid like the rest of that leaning tendency of ideology believe that the Supreme Court changes law, that the Supreme Court becomes law, that the Supreme Court can actually alter the Constitution. No, they can't. The Supreme Court gives opinions. They don't make laws. They don't change the Constitution. And I think it's very telling because you back them in a corner and they'll say, well, you know, we don't really mean change, we mean interpret. But here we go, right now, in their own panic, they're admitting that they truly believe that the Supreme Court changes the Constitution. And I think this is exactly what Thomas Jefferson was talking about when he talked about his greatest fear. Thomas Jefferson said, "The great object of my fear is the federal judiciary, that body like gravity ever acting with noiseless foot and unalarming advance, gaining ground step by step and holding what it gains, is engulfing insidiously the special governments into the jaws of that which feeds them." He says, "The government will be as venal and oppressive as the government from which we separated." You see, these people believe that when this, and look, there are conservatives who believe this too. These people who have been indoctrinated in the ideology of judicial supremacy believe that when the Supreme Court gives an opinion on something, it is really something that rules across the land. That this principle of stare decisis binds other people who are not even involved in the case under which the opinion was rendered. That stare decisis binds everybody so that it becomes the law of the land. And this is the problem. Stare decisis, this is exactly what Jefferson was talking about, stare decisis, which is past opinions. Stare decisis does not bind other parties in similar cases. The purpose of stare decisis is to guide, not to bind. If one Supreme Court opinion binds every single person in the country who's not even in that case, then two things happen without a question. Number one, there is never an opportunity to challenge a court opinion. Because if your terms are similar, but you believe that the court was wrong in their opinion, you can't bring a case because you're already Brown. The judgment's already been made. Bye, see ya, you're going to jail. The other thing is, due process is dead. Because all the courts have to say is, well, you know, we already ruled on that 10 years ago. And your situation fits enough in here. We don't even have to see you anymore. See you, you can go to jail. This errant understanding of stare decisis literally creates this oligarchy of kings and queens that cannot be challenged. And I'm going to get into this when we get into our school lesson this week. But I just wanted you guys to know that somebody reads Think Progress and sees a constitutional lesson in it. God bless you guys. See you tomorrow.
I received. Let me know.